I have a different kind of episode for you on the podcast today because this week is a really exciting milestone for me, and I wanted to share about that and also share the work that I've been doing the last 3 months. So I will officially be a certified breathwork and meditation teacher as of this week, and I've spent the last 3 months learning all about the pranayamic breathwork and meditation techniques that are thousands of years old, originating in Ayurvedic and yogic practices, and finding ways to bring those into our current understanding of brain-based differences and intensity and overwhelm and anxiety associated with ADHD. So I've been using this a lot myself across the last 12 weeks in creating experiences and visualizations and meditations to help people in these moments of overstimulation, of body shutdown, of nervous system overwhelm. And so that's my first piece of news that I'm really excited to share. I can't wait to share more resources. I have a new Instagram account as well called adhd.nervous.system on Instagram. So that's a place where I'm specifically sharing all of the tips and strategies around nervous system nourishment and different somatic things that we can do with our bodies, with our breath, by creating sensory cocoons that really, really help. But the other thing that I'll get into a little bit in this episode is that while I've been learning all these incredible techniques to be able to teach breathwork the last 12 weeks, I've also experienced some really difficult personal circumstances in my life, some really chronic stresses that have built up over time and that have made it really hard for me sometimes to practice the things that I've learned, to actually have the capacity in my nervous system to do the things that I know will help me. And that's been really frustrating, to have the tools to intellectually know how I can downregulate an agitated nervous system and to not have the ability to do it. So I'll get into that a little bit in this episode and share my story with you and what's been really difficult, just so that you know you're not alone, that these things can happen. And when we have brain-based differences like ADHD, and we have really sensitive nervous systems, we can have periods where we're doing okay because our environment is more sustainable and it's more geared around helping us succeed. But then if things in our environment change, if things in our emotional landscape change, or in our close relationships, if there are work pressures or external things, even just like working under fluorescent lights or having a construction site next to your office, those external stresses can really start to pile up and create a lot of nervous system breakdown and overwhelm. And then that makes our ADHD challenges like 10 times worse, especially in my experience. So that's what I've got for you today. I've also got, after I've shared a bit about my story, I've got a visualization in deep rest and connecting in with your body and in that more relaxed state in your nervous system. So it's something that you can listen to when you're overwhelmed and you've got no other strategies, you can't even think about what to do next. It's something that you can just put on and create a sensory cocoon for yourself with an eye mask, some headphones, under a blanket, and just receive and listen to the guiding words of my voice and let your nervous system have a break. Life with an ADHD brain can be a wild ride, swinging between intense obsessions and hyperfocus to exhaustion and overwhelm. And sometimes these pendulum swings can feel very lonely in a world that doesn't truly understand neurodiversity. But what if our daydreaming, impulsivity, and fierce obsessions all make complete sense? What if we're not flawed or disordered, but rather living in a fast-paced world that wasn't designed for our brilliant ADHD brains? Believe me, I know firsthand that living with ADHD isn't easy, and we'll definitely talk about those challenges here too. But after decades focusing on the deficiencies, it's time for a shift. Join me as we explore the latest ADHD research and take a deep dive into topics like unconscious limiting beliefs, habits and productivity, mindset, self-care, and nervous system nourishment. I'll also chat to a range of neurodivergent guests so we can challenge the status quo, change the conversation, and shape the future of ADHD together. Thank you. hello and welcome back to the Future ADHD podcast. I'm your host, Grace Coolmer, and today's episode is a little bit of a different one and has a bit of a different energy because I wanted to be really honest and share a bit about my personal experience at the top of the episode here and explain a little bit about what I have in store for you and what's coming in this episode because it's a little different to other episodes. So if you have been struggling with overstimulation, overwhelm, you're feeling maybe not as resilient as usual, maybe some of those ADHD challenges are really rearing their heads consistently and getting you down or making you feel like you're in a constant battle every day and you're exhausted by the end of the day. And maybe you know you need to rest, you know you need to give your nervous system a break to create a sensory cocoon for yourself, which is something I love to talk about a lot, but you just don't have the energy to do it. And it's a bit of a strange one because the thing about resting and looking after our nervous systems is that it does require a bit of energy. And when we're burnt out or when we're exhausted or overwhelmed or anxious, it's actually really hard sometimes to find ways into resting. And I have been experiencing this a lot in the last month with a bunch of different kind of circumstances in my life, some really big work deadlines and opportunities that are causing a lot of pressure in my brain. And then combining that with school holidays and my kids being home in my space every day, making noise. We've had a lot of rainy weather, so they've been indoors a lot. And so just trying to get into a flow and get into a productive headspace, which can be a real challenge when you've got ADHD, because you know that we need to be inspired. We need to be lit up. We need to have dopamine flowing in order to be productive and to do our best work. And what I found really difficult is trying to get into that state and doing my best to get into that state. And some days I get there and some days I don't, but then being interrupted by my kids coming into the room and the frustration of losing that focus, of constantly being pulled out of that hyper-focus zone. And so not being able to do the job I need to do and feeling really ineffective the last 3 weeks and really torn, because I think the difficult thing when you do have kids, if this is, you know, one of the reasons you're interrupted, is that when you're interrupted, you actually also gaslight yourself and you tell yourself, well, my kids are only young for such a short period of time and they're home for the holidays and, you know, I do love them and I love their little faces. And so you're engaged in this like unconscious battle, and that can be so tricky for our brains to comprehend, and our nervous systems don't know how to react to that. So they can sometimes get stuck in that fight or flight state, which is what happened to me. And what that meant was that I found myself dropping all of the habits that I tried to accumulate to really tend to my nervous system, to nourish it, because I was just finding myself stuck in fight or flight constantly. And then the only way that I could get a break from that stress response was to go straight into the other end of the spectrum, which is the numbing out, the disassociation. Just like I couldn't find healthy ways to relax. It was more just those unhealthy mechanisms just to like shut off my brain for a bit. So that's my experience the last couple of weeks, and it's been a really tough one trying to navigate through that. And just in the last day or two, I've managed to find ways to start to reawaken that desire to rest deeply and to start doing my breath work and the things, you know, my sensory cocooning, my low stimulation time, just the things that have worked for me really well in the past that I was finding hard to access. And the way that I did that was through a visualization, because I've found that things like breath work and yoga and stretching and walking and meditation are all things that require a decent amount of baseline rest and energy and capacity in our nervous systems to actually have the ability to start doing. Whereas I find guided visualizations, I can just stick my headphones on and just receive. I don't have to do anything. There's no effort. I don't have to think anything. The words kind of guide me through and I can kind of just surrender to it. So that's what I've turned to in these moments of just utter desperation. And at the end of today's episode, I have a guided visualization in deep rest and and deep radical listening to our bodies that I designed for these exact moments where everything else just seems impossible and rest feels so inaccessible. So yeah, after this short introduction, I'll move into the visualization, and it's something that you can listen to again and again if it resonates for you and if it gives you the same sort of rest that it did for me. But before we hop in there, I wanted to just talk about a few more stresses on the nervous system, because I've just described what it's like being a parent, working from home, trying to run a company with a team of people, and also having my kids in the next room interrupting me constantly. And it's what a lot of people experience during the COVID lockdowns too. And it's just not a viable option. So that was really stressful for me. And those external stresses started to make me far more emotionally reactive, far more like bigger highs, bigger lows. My executive functioning dropped off a cliff. I started sleeping more poorly, eating poorly, all of those things that we often associate with ADHD, the symptoms just ramped up. But if you don't have kids, there are lots of other ways that this can happen. So I wanted to list off a couple. So the physical stresses on the body and the nervous system, there's a whole list of them. And you could have sleep deprivation, you could be exercising or even over-exercising, and that could cause stress. You could be doing excessive dieting, caring for young children, being a caregiver to someone with a disability or a mental illness. You could have too much caffeine in your system. You could have inadequate light or fluorescent lights that's just creating that friction and that overstimulation in your nervous system, sort of humming in the background, but really having an impact and building up over time. You can have muscle tension. You could be overworked in your job, too many hours, or you could even be understimulated in your job and underworked, and that can create stress in the nervous system. You could be drinking too much alcohol. You could have a sedentary lifestyle, so not moving enough. That can create stress on the nervous system. Nutrient deficiencies, incorrect breathing patterns and mouth breathing. You could have illness, infection, or injury causing additional stress. You could be eating ultra-processed foods and have a buildup of those toxins in your system. Dehydration, you could be ignoring physiological urges, for example, not eating when you're hungry or not going to the toilet when you need to, just holding on for too long, which can often happen with ADHD. There's an overlap with that hyperfocus, meaning that we often ignore our bodily urges and we don't have strong interoceptive abilities. We could also be emotionally out of alignment. Our soul could be not fed or nourished. We could be intellectually unchallenged, like I mentioned before. We could be in relationship conflict or long-standing relationship breakdowns and sort of freeze-outs with different people that could be causing a lot of stress. And we could also be experiencing grief, and that could be grief of the loss of a loved one or a pet or things not turning out the way that we hoped. And when there's a mix of some of those stresses in a situation that's sort of encompassing our lives, all of that can really impact on the way our ADHD shows up, and it can really leave us feeling like we have very few tools and resources to cope and to get through every day. We're just holding it together, we're doing a lot of masking, and we're not able to let go in our moments of vulnerability and privacy. So often when we're heading for overwhelm, burnout, anxiety, and we're experiencing chronic stress, there are a lot of red flags that can pop up. And when we're busy or when we're numbing out a lot, we can have a way of ignoring those. So I'm just going to list a couple here, and you can mentally do a checklist of where you're at the moment in your life and what you might be experiencing. So signs that our body is stressed are muscle pain and tension, headaches, lower immunity and getting sick more, exhaustion, overwhelm, insomnia, mental distress, anxiety and depression, panic attacks, chronic procrastination, I just did an Instagram post on procrastination this week and talked about how it's a clear sign in many cases that there's a misalignment, that there's overwhelm, our nervous systems are burned out. There's more to it than just, in inverted commas, being lazy, like a lot of people assume procrastination is. The other symptoms are excessive doom scrolling and a lot of screen time, being irritable and easily angered, or going from 0 to 100 with an angry outburst, not being able to enjoy the hobbies we usually do, craving for sugar and caffeine and binge eating, wanting to avoid friends or phone calls, a lack of motivation to exercise and move our bodies, and even things like stress-related injuries, so shin splints, sore wrists, sore elbows, ankle issues, back issues, and also skin issues, dermatitis, those sort of things. So I mentioned that our nervous systems can kind of get stuck in this fight or flight or freeze response. And often when that happens, we can intellectually know we need to rest, but we find it really difficult to do. And that is actually because sometimes when we're stuck in that fight or flight response almost permanently and we're not resting throughout the day and moving our nervous system in and out of states of rest and digest and the sympathetic response, we will get really stuck in that really stressed response, and that feels familiar to us. And so resting actually starts to feel unfamiliar. And so gentle exposure and slowly and gradually exposing ourselves to rest when we've been stuck in that state is necessary. Not forcing ourselves to do a 3-day retreat or to take a trip somewhere or to suddenly start a new habit like yoga if we've never done it before, but trying to find ways to just a minute at a time gradually increase our tolerance for rest. Because one of the worst things about this stage is that we can, you know, we're already feeling stressed and overwhelmed and anxious and stuck. And then when we try and rest, when we try and do those things and we, inverted commas, fail at them, we don't find them restful, or we try and read our favorite book or watch our favorite show, but it's just not landing for us, then suddenly shame and guilt can, you know, land on top of the whole thing and just squash us even further. And so just having that gentle approach of knowing that, yeah, this is challenging, but that's okay. I don't have to do 4 hours of reading and yoga and breath work and then go to a spa at the end to top it all off in order to be relaxed. I can even just do 1 minute. Take one tiny minute, which is really low pressure. And I like to say a lot that it's try and picture rest and nervous system nourishment like taking a sip of water. So if you're dehydrated, it's not a great idea to actually overflood your system with water and drink, you know, 3 or 4 liters at once. That's actually really unhealthy. And so it's best to just take small sips of water and do that regularly so that you're nourishing and hydrating yourself in a sustainable way. And so even 1 minute of gentle breathing with long exhales, or stepping away into a separate room, putting on some sound isolating headphones, listening to brown noise, something to drown out external things, even a 1 minute walk around your backyard, looking up at the sky, the trees, listening for birds, they're like little sips of water, little sips of hydration, and they do make a difference. So just know that if you're struggling and this is feeling like, whoa, I just can't even access anything right now, just taking a 1 minute break in your day and trying to do that a few times in your day can really help. So what I have for you here today is a 30-minute guided visualization into deep rest. And I've shared this today because it's the most helpful tool in learning how to rest and in creating that sensory cocoon that's really low expectation. So yes, this is a 30-minute practice. The actual guided visualization only goes for about 20 minutes with a 10-minute music buffer at the end. So you can do those 1 minute things, like I said, if you're feeling like you just want to surrender and receive and just nourish your nervous system, but you don't want to have to think about it. This is the perfect experience. So I've tried to create something here that's like a home. Whenever I create visualizations, I like to create a home for myself. and this sort of imaginative, emotive, very visual experience in my brain so that I can actually feel that in my body as I am listening on a subconscious level. And that creates this experience of a home within myself, a safe resting place that I can retreat to. And the more times you listen to this guided visualization, the more times that you will actually start to memorize that lived experience in your body. So if you're listening to it and you fall asleep, that's absolutely fine. It's no problem at all. Actually, I do recommend listening to it before you go to bed because it really does have a quality to it that can make you drift off to sleep, and the words can still filter into your subconscious mind while that's happening. I've listened to it a lot of times myself, and even though it's my own voice, it still sends me to sleep, which is quite funny. So you can do it like that. If you're in the middle of a work day or if you don't have time to go to sleep, just set an alarm for yourself, just something gentle on your phone, not too jarring, for the amount of time that you have. And then that will cut through the visualization when it's time for you to come out. So that's my advice for you. I really hope that this guided visualization helps you connect in with your body again. It's designed to get you out of your head, out of that fight or flight response, and gently and gradually help you move down into the body with that meditative theta brainwave state, and just to be aware of what's going on inside you, to sense that on a cellular level and an emotive level. So here's the breathwork visualization, and I really hope you enjoy, and I really wish you all the best as you find ways to nourish your nervous system. Today we're going to do a breathwork and visualization experience in deep rest. I invite you to find a quiet place you won't be interrupted and put your phone on Do Not Disturb. You can do this meditation lying down or sitting, whatever is most comfortable. Get yourself settled and close your eyes. Often people with ADHD are very good at looking after others and using our powers of empathy to help and hold the people closest to us. Today we're going to explore self-listening and self-holding. I know this might feel a bit weird or unfamiliar, but I'll guide you every step of the way. During this meditation, you don't have to effort. You don't have to achieve. There are no wrong or right reactions to the guided visualization. You just need to surrender and listen to my voice. Your body is wise, and I'll be guiding you to listen to your body's intelligence and experience. Trust that your nervous system will guide you through this experience in the way that you need in this moment. It knows exactly what you need. Your breath will bring you home to meet yourself time and time again. I invite you to take a deep breath through your nose, from the bottom of your belly, up through your rib cage, and into your chest and heart. Now let your breath fall out with an effortless sigh through the mouth. Rest here. Be held. Take another deep breath through your nose, in through your belly, rib cage, and chest. Breathing in this clean air, this permission to exist in the world just as you are. No masks, no expectations. Hold for a few moments. Let your breath out again in a deep sigh. Breathe in again deeply through your nose, filling up your lungs, through your belly, right up into your heart space. And when you let out your breath this time, I want you to keep your mouth closed and slowly exhale through your nose, letting the breath fill your chest and swirl gently down into your belly, like you're taking a very slow elevator all the way down in a tall building to the bottom floor. As you complete that exhale, try to consciously notice the very end of your breath. When you get to the bottom, take another breath in here, hold for a beat or two, then consciously exhale slowly through your nose and find your way gently all the way to the end of your breath again. I invite you to continue to breathe in deep belly breaths and let your breath slowly exhale through your nose as you continue listening to my voice. We'll breathe in and out from here only through our noses. I'm going to guide you into a self-listening exercise now with your body. Keeping your eyes closed, I want you to imagine that this space now is your deep rest zone. In this space, there are no demands on you and no one needs you. I want you to imagine all of the parts of your external world, your responsibilities, work commitments, family relationships, outside stresses, are like white noise or a news station playing on your phone. Visualize holding your phone in front of you and looking at this white noise playing. And now, visualize pressing the mute button. You're turning down the volume on the outside world just for a few minutes while we rest in this space, this cocoon. This is your space to nourish your nervous system. It's quiet. We're here in our bodies. When we create a sensory cocoon, we turn the volume down on the noisy world outside and find our way into our bodies again. Sometimes being present with our emotions and sensations in our sensitive nervous systems can be uncomfortable. That's why numbing out and staying busy is so appealing. It's a coping strategy and we need it to function in our lives. I use it. You use it. Staying busy and purposeful can be a great tool. But sometimes even great tools can be overused. We're going to explore balancing this productivity with deep rest so we can make our productivity more sustainable. Imagine this sensory cocoon, a place you can go to rest. If you could turn off your responsibilities and take a rest, where would you go? Is it a retreat in the mountains? A cabin by a stream, perhaps? A villa in Bali? A cozy hammock on the beach? Imagine your place now. Take yourself there in your mind and find a comfortable chair or resting place. As you sit there, notice the sounds, the temperature, the smells. What do you see in your field of vision? Now continue to take those gentle, slow exhales. Deep breathing through the belly, however feels natural. Remember that you have opened up that beautiful pathway into your body and you can trust where that wisdom will lead you. I want you to imagine that you're in this safe resting space and that you're inviting your body to speak to you, that you're fully attuned to what's happening inside and all the sensations you may experience. This may feel unfamiliar and a bit strange at first, but I want to remind you that there was once a version of you that knew intimately the language of her body. All babies are born with just their senses. No spoken language or prefrontal cortex to logic their way through. Babies have incredible interoceptive abilities. They are finely tuned to the feelings inside them and can express those to get their needs met. Their survival depends on it. That memory is still alive in you. It may be used far less than when you were an infant, but the body never forgets its original intelligence. It's lying there inside you. It just needs to be reawakened and listened to. Continue your deep breaths and slow exhales as we move deeper and learn the language of the body. Ask your intelligent body if it will show you which parts are tired. Can you put your hand on those parts of your body? Be present with those sensations and feelings. How's the intensity? If it's overwhelming, ask those tired parts to bring the intensity down by about 50% so you can witness it without being exhausted. Out of those tired parts, which one seems to be calling you the most? Put both hands over that part. Breathe in here. And as you exhale, send golden, healing breath and light and gratitude to that part for speaking up. Just be present with that part here, noticing it, looking at it, observing what form, shape, or color it takes as you witness it there. This is different for everyone. Don't overanalyze, just trust whatever wisdom comes. Imagine moving closer to that part or body part and holding it so it's cradled in your hands. How is it responding to that? Now, as you're cradling it in your hands, I invite you to ask the tired part why it's tired. Let it share with you. It might have strong emotions. It might just tell you in words or pictures. Whatever it shows you is its perfect wisdom. Listen and receive. Does that part feel like you're hearing it? Thank that part for sharing. Keep your hands over that part and send it love and warmth with your breath. continue your warm, deep breaths in and steady, slow exhales. I invite you now to ask this part what it needs. Wait for its wisdom. It might come quickly, it might take a few moments. What does this tired part most need from you in this moment? How does it want to be cared for? Let it show you what it wants most. If it's bringing up images or scenarios, you can let it lead you there. If it's bringing up words or ideas, that's perfect too. Ask the tired part, if it wasn't so tired anymore, how would it move? How would it move and be if it wasn't so depleted? Be present with that vibrant feeling and let it spread out into your body so it tingles all the way out to your fingertips and toes. Let that golden feeling radiate from that part so it travels all the way up your spine and into the 100 billion neurons in your brain. Now, as you receive this gift and send appreciation to this tired part for being brave enough to tell you the truth today, let it know that you won't forget it and you'll come back to check on it soon. That you'll listen to it when it sends a little ping to let you know it's really tired and needs to be cared for. Soon, I'll invite you to start to integrate in your unconscious mind what you've learned and experienced in this space here. The music will keep playing for several minutes after my voice stops guiding you, so you can stay here and rest or go to sleep if you are ready to do that. Before we leave, look around at your inner cocoon, the beautiful, safe space you imagined at the beginning. Think about the smells, colors, the view, and the sounds. Let your body know that before you leave this space, that you've remembered this felt sense in your body, in your dreamy unconscious mind, and know how to return to this space of rest again. Let it know that you want to come back again soon, that you want to care for it. Thank you for taking this journey into deep rest with me today. If you'd like to keep resting and listening, you can do that. And if you're ready to bring your awareness from that safe internal world back out into this space, start to listen to the noises in the outside world. Feel the solid surface underneath you. Wriggle your fingers and toes. Roll your shoulders, whatever feels comfortable. Then, when you're ready, gently blink open your eyes a little and adjust to the light in the space around you.
Thank you.
If you loved this visualization and you'd like to listen to it again, but not have to listen to the whole podcast episode, you can head to our website, futureadhd.com/deep-rest. And I'm giving away this recording for free because I really just do want to help people find easy ways to access deep rest and to regulate their nervous system in times of overwhelm and overstimulation. So go to futureadhd.com/deep-rest and you can download the deep rest visualization recording there. Thanks for listening. And if you love this episode, please feel free to share it with friends or family that may need this resource. And I will chat to you in the next episode. Thanks so much for joining me for today's episode. And if you're keen for more, we have a lot of free resources on our website, futureadhd.com, where you can also buy our planners and support tools. Our Future ADHD planners are based on the latest neuroscience and have a unique build-as-you-go format, which makes them different to your average planner. This feature makes it ridiculously easy to pick up where you left off, even if you miss weeks or months at a time, without the shame spirals, guilt, or critical self-talk. Our digital version works with iPads, iPhones, Android tablets and Android phones, Windows and Macs. We also have a printable version for those who love paper and pen. Join almost 20,000 neurodivergents who have downloaded our planners and say that this is the first planner they've ever been able to stick with, because it's designed to work with your creative, inconsistent, divergent, non-linear brain. And if you want to watch a planner walkthrough or learn more about Future ADHD and our mission, check out our Instagram and TikTok, future.adhd, and of course our website, futureadhd.com.